It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis today, and I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9, verse 17. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit us at our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and be prepared to read along and study along today as we look at God's Word. Genesis chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 17. And God said unto Noah, "This is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. The sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's Word. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. Please that you will guide and lead us that we may know your truth as we are going to look up a verse of Scripture in Romans concerning this is for our learning. Please, Lord, that you will help us to always understand and continue to understand that. And Lord, please that you will guide us through your Word today. Touch our hearts, every one of us, Lord, today, that we may be closer to you because of this study. And this won't be the only time that we've been together in your Word, but it's been several times through the week, and also many times even today, Lord. Please guide and lead us now and open this Word, your Word, up to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we begin and take just a quick glance at a review concerning the rainbow that we talked about in this the last time we were together. And we looked at that, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And that promise was that God would never take rain and floods and destroy the whole earth as he has just finished in this judgment upon all the world. And there is none survived except for what was upon the ark. You see, we need to trust God's Word, and we need to know God's Word is true. And God said the promise was given. Noah began to preach and continued to preach the truth. And when he gave him the directions of that ark, everyone would have been able to enter that ark and been safe on that ark if they would have chosen to do so. But instead of that, they ignored, ridiculed, criticized, and none entered except for Noah and his family. And that is all that went upon the ark. And so judgment's over. We have the rainbow as a promise, and we have. I hope that you have noticed in the past studies that the one that is really looking upon that rainbow is God Himself, and that is a promise. We have it. We can see it. It is not the beautiful full rainbow that God is seeing. We are seeing just a part of it, and with the curse upon this earth, even the colors are not so bright as what the colors that God is seeing from the other side. It's Him that's keeping the promise, and so we thank and praise God. And we also looked at there is a judgment coming. That judgment upon this earth will come by fire, not by flood. And so we have now Noah, that went forth the ark, and with him the sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we have a note right here in this 18th verse that, and Ham is the father of Canaan. Now it seems as though that we're making a big deal of this, and there's a purpose in that, so I want you to see this. Now, I'm going to just take a moment right here. It's kind of out of place maybe, but maybe it'll help us to understand. This Shem, the son of Noah, Shem, he was still alive when Abraham will be born. Now you think about that. The very one, Noah is not alive when Abraham was born, but the first son of Noah, Shem, he was born, was still alive when Abraham was born. Matter of fact, he almost outlived Abraham. And so for the witness and the testimony of the judgment of God and the salvation of God that Shem literally experienced through this time in the ark during the flood, he could have shared directly with Abraham. Now, isn't that something to think that Shem and Abraham were alive on this earth at the same time? And again, if you'll check the numbers, you'll find that Shem, just give a few years, almost outlived Abraham. Shem was still alive when Isaac was born. He only missed Jacob by 10 years, and Jacob is the one that his name is changed to Israel. He's the, we think of Abraham, which is the father of the nation of Israel. The promise was given to Abraham to come out from Ur of Chaldees and go into the promised land, which is the land of Canaan. Think about that when we've discussed Ham is the father of Canaan. So all these things are all together. But I want you to see that how the connection here of these lives, and how Shem, the son of Noah, was alive and almost outlived Abraham, was alive when Isaac was born, was and only missed Jacob by 10 years. And Jacob is the one that is the father. He went and his name is changed to Israel. And so he is really the connection, a closer connection with the nation of Israel. And how that as we went down into the land of Egypt and then come out of Egypt with Moses unto the promised land, again, the land of Canaan. Now keep all that kind of in your mind as we are looking through these verses of Scripture. The first thing that we're going to look at here, though, is kind of a sad statement. We're going first to verse 19. These are the three sons of Noah. Of them was the whole earth overspread. Every person, individual that was not on the ark died. The world, the total population today has come through Noah. And again, through his three sons. And of them, the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth populated or overspread. And so the population that we know and we have today has come from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, as the Scripture tells us of those three children. Now, Noah began to be a husbandman, a farmer. And specifically, he planted a vineyard. And so we know that as Noah got off of the ark, He didn't just sit back and say, I've done all I need to do. You know, I hear that quite often as people decide to retire, and maybe they retire from their job, and most of the time they also retire from the church at the same time. Not everybody does that, but many folks do it, and it's a sad, sad case. We are to serve the Lord all of our life. We are to work all of our life. We don't have to be in the same factory or do the same job all of our life, but we do need to be busy and at work. Nothing in this in God's Word ever instructs us that we're to work X number of years, and whether it's 57 or 63 or 65 or 70 or whatever year that that the government or the people or the factory decides that that's retirement age, and so that's the time that you retire. And now I'm just going to sit down and relax. Nothing in this book that we have before us, God's Word, tells us to do that. We are to work. Matter of fact, we'll down the line here, we're going to run into a man named Joshua. And I always enjoy this because in the book of Joshua, they've taken the promised land. Remember, Moses wasn't allowed to go in once they finally possessed the land. And Joshua was the leader that took them across into the land and possessed what part of the land they did. And after being in for a period of time, why, Joshua decided that he was must have been kind of relaxing and sitting back. And God came to Joshua and said, you're old. I don't care. Get to work. And I think we need to take that to heart. And we need to be in service. We need to be working. And we need to understand that that's something that needs to continue. Now, Noah stepped off the ark, and Noah was 600 years old, if my memory serves me right, when he went on the ark, and I think he was 601 when he come off the ark, and I hope that my memory is correct there. If it is, and I don't know that I see it quickly here, yes, in verse 13 of the 8th chapter, and it came to pass in the 601st year, the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And so we have that Noah was 601 years old. Now, you say, well, they didn't age as fast. Granted, the curse of the earth, the body did not deteriorate as fast. I'm telling you, 601 years old, that ought to be old. Well, we're going to find out here that Noah lived after the flood 350 years. 350 years. What did he do? He was a farmer. He had a vineyard. And so we find that he took on this job, this responsibility. He didn't expect his sons to care for him. He didn't have a retirement plan that was put into place so he could just sit down and do nothing. He went to work. The sad thing is that we have here at the very beginning, he drank of the wine that he had produced, the grapes he had produced, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. Now, you know, you can tell me all you want to concerning all the things that today are outlawed, and you can't drink till you're a certain age, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that. Well, I tell you what, alcohol, drugs, anything that changes your mind, your thinking, whether it distorts your thinking, it moves you, it changes you to something that you are not. And any time that any drug or any drink causes that, you know, some people, you'll say, well, I can't get along with them unless they're half drunk. Well, there's a serious problem with that individual then, if that's the only way they can get along is to get a few drinks under their belt so now you can finally talk to them and visit and get along with them. That's a very sad statement. I never want to be out of control. And I don't say that in the wrong way. I mean, I'm not a person that has to control everything and everybody. I'm not that way at all. But I want all my faculties. I want to be together. I want to know and be as bright in thinking as I can possibly be. And so as you look at God's Word here, and we see a man, a godly man, that has made a mistake. Now, why he's made that mistake, we're not sure. We don't know whether during the period of the but prior to the flood, there is no record of anyone being drunk. Now, does that mean that no one got drunk prior to that time? No, it's just not listed. We do know that the earth now has changed. This canopy that was above the earth, that was protecting the earth and keeping it, so plentiful in all its producing of everything that we could live and have all that we needed to have, that canopy is gone. And so no longer is this earth as productive as it was before. Some areas are very productive, some areas are not. And so all this has changed, and much of this has changed because of the flood and what's taken place with the flood. So has something changed now that this wine turned into something that caused him to get drunk sooner than before? I don't know, I don't know that it matters, other than Noah allowed, he was not careful in what he was doing. And all of a sudden, he drank enough of this wine that he was drunken, and it was enough that he finally went to sleep. That's how much alcohol, that's how much of this wine that he had consumed. Now, Noah needed to be a smarter man than that. But I tell you what, the flesh wins over many times. And so we're not going to condemn or criticize Noah here, other than he is a human and sin enters into everyone. It's a problem. Sin, we're born in sin, and that sin, on occasion, gets victory. Sometimes, many times, it gets victory. Sometimes, just now and then, it gets victory. But here, sin won out. Noah, for whatever reason, was overtaken by this wine. We need to be careful because, you see, we are to learn from Noah's experience. You should never be drunk. That should never happen to you, because we know what wine will do. We know what that drink, that alcohol will do. We know what drugs will do, the drugs that people seem to have to live so they can get their high. They alter our thinking. They alter our mind, our ways. Please, we're seeing here something that is recorded, and it's not to show how wicked Noah is. It's to show us how weak our flesh is. Okay, so have we learned? Let's look. He drank the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren. Now, we're going to stop there just for a minute. First problem, Noah got drunk. Should have never happened, but it did. Now, that leads to one other thing, that if Noah had not been drunk, Noah would not have been uncovered in his tent. So you see, the result of Noah getting drunk led to him doing something that he naturally would not have done, normally would not have done. But the wine changed him. Drinking too much wine altered his thinking. And there he was, and I don't know, next to the doorway of his tent, I don't know where it says within his tent, but it was close enough that Ham saw him. Now, how soon did this take place after the flood? You know, we're not given the times here as far as, okay, it was the next week, it was 3 weeks later. It is sad that this is the very first, other than him taking on to be this farmer of taking care of the vineyard, that the first record that we have then after that is that he got drunk with the wine that he produced, the grapes that he produced. That's sad. We have this. We don't know the time period here. Is Canaan the son of Ham? How old is he? Is he born? Is he there? I believe very much that he is born, and I think he's with Ham. And I think that they found, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. We know Ham was there. I believe Canaan was there. And as we look, I said Cain. I didn't mean Cain. Canaan, the son of Ham. Now, they saw the nakedness of his father. The only thing it records here, it tells us that they went and told, or at least Ham, and I believe that Canaan was with them, went and told Shem and Japheth. Now, number one, when we see someone fall and commit this sin, what's the first thing that we should do? We should help in every way to restore them, to bring them back. Now, instead of that, I think Ham and Canaan went to Shem and Japheth and was discussing very clearly what they had seen with their father. And we're not sure, and it's not stated here, what all went on. But we know because down here, when Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now, that's down in verse 24. We don't understand what went on here. Was there a sexual act that was committed? How did he know that it was Ham? Was Canaan involved in that act? The only thing that we know is that Ham and Canaan, and especially Canaan, has received a curse because of this act. And we are also told by verse 24 that Noah knew that it was his younger son, Ham, that had done it to him. What had went on? I'm not sure. But it seems as though that they have bragged it to their other Ham, to his other two brothers, Shem and Japheth. Well, Shem and Japheth, they did not run to sea. They did not participate in this sin. They took a garment, laid it upon their shoulders. They did not want to look upon their father. They did not want to see his nakedness. So Shem and Japheth, they took this garment, a garment, laid it upon their shoulders, and they backed into his tent. And they laid this across their father so that they could not see, never saw, the nakedness of their father. Now, we don't know what Ham did. We don't know how involved Canaan was in the act, whatever it was. But we know that Shem and Japheth had nothing to do with it. And when they were told of the condition of their father, the only thing they wanted to do was to help and to protect. And that's what they did. And that's what we should do as brothers and sisters in Christ. We should come to help and to protect. Not to talk about it, not to gossip about it, not to make some big deal about it. We are to help. The sin had been committed, but Shem and Japheth did not repeat it. They went to help. They went to protect and to take care of their father. And we need to do the same thing with brothers and sisters. Don't be like Ham. Don't be this gossip that comes running. And again, we have no idea what he did. But I tell you that he did something much worse than just glance at his father and then run as a gossip to tell Shem and Japheth. And we know that according to what has taken place here. Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. I am in the 25th verse. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Canaan shall be his servant." In verse 25, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant. Of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Look at that. Canaan shall be his servant. Not Ham. Not Ham. Canaan. And so there's much of this story that we don't know and we don't need to know, other than we need to understand that as something had changed from the flood, and now Noah was drunken from the wine. We have here a whole new beginning with Noah and his family, a new world, because that the flood had washed away everything, had cleaned everything, man, animals, and the land and the buildings and everything that was there. It started out new, but still sin existed. Again, the curse here comes to Canaan. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shalt thou be, not to Ham. You know, we know, it's known that Ham, from Ham, the descendant of Ham, we have the dark races. There is no special curse against them. God here is very clear about that. It is something to do with Canaan. Now, what did I tell you concerning the Noah, then Shem, and the connection between Shem and all the way to Abraham, Isaac, and almost to Jacob, the beginning of the nation of Israel, and the leaving of Egypt and going to the land of Canaan? And what did God say to do with the individuals that lived in Canaan? He was to destroy every one of them. They had become so wicked and so corrupt, and this curse is placed right here on Canaan. That special people, Canaan, the descendants of Ham, but just through the line of Canaan. And that's who lived in the land that God calls the Promised Land, where Moses brought the people, Joshua then took them in. These people, the descendants of Ham, are very strong. I mean, to have the land and the civilization of Babylon, of Egypt, both of these very great people, in both cases very ungodly people, yet again very powerful, very proud people. Now please, God places the curse on Canaan, who dwelt in the land of Canaan, where Moses was to come in and take the land, the Canaanites. They're the ones that received the curse. This wonderful scripture, as we look through and have seen this, and I have one verse that we're going to get to, and I want to look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why is this time of Noah recorded? Why is it talked about concerning Canaan? It's for our learning. Clearly, to begin with, never get drunk. And the only way that you can be safe of never getting drunk is don't take a drink. It's a pretty simple thing. Don't be a social drinker. Don't take a drink. Something that alters your mind, changes you ever so slightly, doesn't make you as sharp and as sure. Please, that you... Very simple principle there. Look what happened when Noah got drunk. Look at the result. Look what opportunities that he opened up for Ham and for Canaan. It resulted in a curse. A curse in the land of Canaan. The people of the Canaanites today are non-existent. The curse was carried out. It all started when Noah didn't realize about the drink for whatever reason. My dear friend, learn from the Word of God. What are you going to do about Jesus Christ? Please come to Him today.